Hey, what's up? This is your girl Nala right here in the den on Power 904. Listen, some people know me as a host, a publicist, a promoter, or even the girl who pops up as a friend on your social media timeline. But at the end of the day, I am really a girl on a mission to help you grow and expand your brand just as I did mine. I never said I had all the answers, but I will go out of my way to help make your brand be exposed as big as mine. My goal isn't to be famous. My goal is to reach, build, and expand with you. Don't play with me.
I'm Nala, and we are sitting right here in the den on Power 904 and Power 904 Hawaii. Shout out. I am sitting here with a dear friend, you guys. You want to introduce yourself to the people?
Hi, my name is Carol Reed with EWO Events and Entertainment, as well as Within Me Ministries. And I'm the hip hop pastor here in Houston, and just love what I do, and I'm grateful for being here today.
Okay, so how long have you been in the ministry?
I've actually been in ministry for 28 years. I got ordained in, I got saved in 1995. And in 1998, I was ordained evangelist. I was doing the work of the evangelist way before then, and just blossomed from there, you know, over the years to do a lot of international work, do a lot of work with just about every Christian TV program my story has been aired on. And so I'm grateful because I didn't want this job. I didn't.
Wow. So you didn't ask for it. So I have my first question, my first big question for you today is, because you're a female, not to be feminist or anything, but are you optimistic about the future for females in the ministry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that because ministries have muzzled the voices of the women is more of a reason why God is going to bring us to the forefront. If you're paying attention to everything that's going on in the world, whether they like it or not, we are in a place of empowerment as not only women, but as Black women. And so our voice is very pertinent that our voices be heard in this hour, because despite popular opinion, nothing came into the earth unless it came through the womb of a woman. And so we have the ability. A man can't birth nothing. I don't care what he says, how he tries, how often he pushes, how many sex changes he gets. He can't birth anything. Jesus would not have even come into the earth had not have been a womb through the womb of a woman. So what makes people have the audacity to believe that God would not use the very vessel that he used to bring the word into the earth? So if I'm good enough to carry the word, that means the word must be in me, right?
That's deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So is there anything that you don't feel equipped to minister about presently?
No, pretty much. And the reason why I say that is not by education, but by experience. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that Peter was the chief sinner. I want to disagree with Peter. Me and Peter are going to have a talk. Because I believe I was one of the chief sinners. And I often question God and say, God, why you allow me to go through so much? He said, because there's not going to be anybody in any circumstance that when you speak, you won't be able to touch. So that means I had to have experienced all types of things in order to be qualified to speak in that. Because I don't want to hear nothing from nobody that ain't been through something. Like, sit in the corner, shut up, let's not talk. Because you're not qualified. My tests and my trials are what make me qualified. So no, there's no topic that is taboo for me because I've been through it all. You name it, I either did it or it happened to me, or I did it to somebody else.
Right.
You know, I'm not the innocent party. You know what I'm saying? And so I think your tests and your trials, when corrected and healed, give you the ability to be authority in all areas.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So what are your pre-ministry rituals, or what do you do right before you go out to minister?
I surrender my body to the Lord and tell him have his way, because I am only an ambassador to Christ. Mm-hmm. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, which a lot of ministers make the mistake of. They're going in their own esteem. We come with a message that we have. We believe that we hear from God, and I do believe that God gives us pre-messages, but at a certain point when you're ministering, the Holy Spirit's going to take you off script. A lot of people miss the movement of the Holy Spirit because they want to stay on the script that they created instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way. So I want to say the greatest thing for me in preparation is I always say, God, if you don't show up, I can't go. I don't want to talk in my own esteem. So yield me, help me yield myself to move out of the way that when you want to speak or veer me in another direction, that I release myself to do that. So I don't never go into any situation with a preconceived notion of what God's going to do or put God on a time frame and say, well, we can only touch this air. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't control the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need no help. God chooses to use men as vessels. He chooses to use us. And so I'm honored that God would see me, a person who was a drug addict, prostitute, and all these other things, and then choose to use me. And then I would have the audacity to tell him what he can and cannot do through me.
Right.
So I just yield myself. That's no. Yeah, I may fast. Yeah, I may read up some scriptures. Yeah, I may pray. But the biggest thing I ever do is just yield myself.
Wow. That's awesome. That's humble too.
Yeah. Because I can't take credit for it and I don't want to be wrong. So when God come back, I'll be like, Lord, that wasn't me. That was you. You know,
so it seems like you be in your most strongest but humble place at a time. What makes you most feminine? Like, what makes you feel most feminine in between all of that? Because you got to be strong, but you still got to be.
Because I believe in a submissive woman.
Wait a minute.
I do. Like, that gets me off. Like, I do. I'm not going to be any kind of way, but I always tell God, please don't let me lose that feminine side. When it's time for me to be authoritative and walk in my anointing with bold, I boldly do it with unapologetic. But let the right king step up in here and tell me to shut up. I'm shutting up.
That's what I'm trying
to be quiet. I'm be like, nigga, what you are? What's next, daddy? Absolutely. You got to understand something, and we didn't talk about it. I was raised by pimps and dope dealers. So I understood the position of submission. It was only in the wrong direction. But God created us. He didn't create Adam for Eve. He created Eve for Adam. Correct. And we were called to submit to a man that has a vision. The only problem is there's the line of men, the number of men, real men with a capital M, are few and far and in between. So, but when I see one, I'm like, yes, Lord, yes. I love being submissive. And there's a real soft side to me, a real sweet side to me that most men can't bring out of me. But when the one do, he can get the whole earth and all the universes that circle around it from me because I love submission.
I love you. Yes. Yes.
And that's what's wrong with women today. I was going to write a post today, and I was going to tell my daughters, you know, ladies, we got a lot of counterfeits out here. They're boys dressed in men body parts. But when you, and you've been so used to accepting these counterfeits, you can't even recognize the real king when he comes. So that you can be submissive. There's nothing wrong with waiting on a brother. He's been beat up in the world. Feed him, baby. Serve him, baby. What do you need next, daddy? What do you want? What can I do
for you? What you
want
to eat?
Is that what you want? I got you. A real Proverbs 31 woman. And like I said, let me back up. Adam wasn't made for Eve. Eve was made for Adam to help Adam meet his call. And when the Bible talks about the Proverbs 31, they say her name is good in the city. And she's a preserving woman. She's always stacking to the side. I remember back in the day when I was walking the streets, as y'all know, I was a hoe. I was a hoe for 20 years. And back in the streets, I always had a stack. I always had a stack. So in case he fell on his face, I'm like, daddy, I got you. Okay? That's a woman that's being prepared. She's not just with her hands out. These women got it wrong. You got it backwards. When the 10 virgins came to the bridegroom, there were 10 virgins coming to meet one man. And they all went through their consecration, got their oil ready. The Bible says there were 5 smart ones and 5 stupid ones. Halfway on the journey, the ones that were stupid, why? Because they prepared for the king. on his way, but you didn't prepare. You didn't come with nothing in hand because you are being misled to believe that he's supposed to come with something in his hand. God gave Adam everything. Adam didn't need a woman, so to say, but he wanted one. That means he's already prepared. And for the right woman, and I mean the woman who asked for nothing, can get it all. Not the other way around. What are you doing for me? What you bringing to the table? Baby, he is the table. And he's going to give you the food and the meat to put on the table so you can prepare the table for him.
Yes, ma'am.
That's just me. I'm old school, though.
Yes, and that was my next question to you as far as in your ministry. What do you bring to the table to preach besides your Bible and your notes? Or maybe you don't even use that. Like, what do you bring?
I flow in the Holy Ghost. I have the gift of wisdom and knowledge. I just read your mail. I've been anointed by God to do what I do. And the Father will place me in a room and then tell me what I'm supposed to say in that room. I'm anointed because of the hell that I've been through. My message is not everybody's looking to walk through the doors of the church because they've been misled in so many different ways. And we have to be the ones that's willing to go out to the streets today to grab those that don't nobody else want or overlooking. And I'm the one that's going to kick it on the curb with you. I'm the one that's going to sit back and have some really colorful words, but I'm going to get your attention enough to have a conversation. And people want to know, is it real? Does it work? And will it last? And if you can't exude that in your own life, you can't even get a conversation with nobody. So what I bring to the table is truth and transparency.
And that's my next question for you. So has there ever been a time where you wish you would have defended yourself for being a female minister?
No, because ain't nobody coming at me that way. They're not gonna. I dare them. I double dog dare them. I got something for the ass, okay? And you say, well, Miss Minister, you cussing? I don't care. God know who I am. He gave me my personality. I don't got to defend what God has done. I'm not for everybody, and I get it, but I'd be doggone if I ever defend myself. I ain't got to, because when I walk in the room, the presence of the Lord walks with me. I ain't got to defend something, because man, what is a mere man anyway? Only thing I've got to prove myself is to the Lord.
They gonna be in trouble when I start.
That's why they don't have me in a church. I used to have a pastor used to say, evangelist, I need to get rid of some people. Let me see what day I can bring you in. Because I'm gonna tell them the truth that's gonna scare a nigga off. If you ain't living right, I'm gonna challenge you. Not me, but the Holy Ghost. Because he gonna read your mail.
Yes.
So I'm not afraid.
So what would you say to some of the women out there that wants to quit ministry because of rejection?
You're going to be held accountable from walking away from your anointing and your call. The Father said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you were preordained and predestined. You don't get a choice. I didn't want to do this. I just want to be saved in my right mind. And God said, speak. Open your mouth up and speak. So who are you not to walk in your anointing? Shame on you, because you will be held accountable for it. Many are called and few are chosen. If God has given you a word in your mouth and you're not using it, you're going to have to stand before God and give account to that. You're going to be accountable for every word that proceeds out your mouth and every word that don't proceed out your mouth that God told you to speak. So you check yourself, because I don't care. I think that's one of the reasons why I don't really give a damn what anybody says, because at the end of the day, I want to please God. I want to please God, and I run across so many people, because I don't meet nobody that's a stranger, and the people say, you know, I thank God that you came in my life, because I never heard nobody talk to you, but I always wanted somebody, and what a horrible stance to be in a position that God wants to use you, but because of what somebody else has said, or even how you feel about yourself, that you would neglect the favor and the anointing on your life, because you want to decide whether or when you're supposed to use it. You don't get a choice in this. It's not a vote. I know I'm a handful. I get it.
Yes, I love it. So as a woman, do you feel that you need a man to cover you? Or is that something that we just want or desire?
I need my king to cover me, not a minister. Not a minister. I don't need a minister to cover me. Now, I know that goes along with a lot of different, a lot of different theologies says you have to have a cover. I have a spiritual mother in my life. And if I ever need her, she's there for me. But I don't feel like I have to. I'm a gift to the world. I'm a gift to the world. And I cannot, you may not see me in church on Sunday, but that don't mean I ain't preaching, because the streets is my pulpit. And I'm not waiting for no Negro to give me permission to do what God called me to do. And you got a lot of ministers that are holding on to people's anointing because they're afraid that they're going to surpass them. So they're only going to let you go so far. I don't like the word apostle, but I operate in the capacity of apostle as far as I speak into many people's lives that have different platforms and are building different platforms in the earth. If I was waiting for a preacher or a covering to tell me whether I could go, I would miss half of those people. So the only covering I feel that a woman minister needs is her king, is my man. Where you at, daddy? Because that's the only thing I'm missing. Where's my king at?
Yes. Yeah. So how old were you when you realized who you were and what you wanted in life?
I don't think I ever realized it. Well, I knew what my purpose was and what I was created to be here for. God woke me up one morning. It was 26 years ago. And the Lord woke me up. I was asleep one day. I had been saved since 1995. And the Lord woke me up one morning and literally tapped me on my shoulder. And I was like, and I always knew God. I always knew the presence of God. Even in sin, I knew the presence of God. He would always say, call my name. I'll get you out of this. And this one morning, he woke me up and he said, I set you up. And I said, what you mean? He said, I set you up. He said, go get this, go get that, go get this, go get that. My life has been documented. There's newspaper. I got receipts on my whole life. Anything I talk about, it's receipts to back it up. And the Lord said, I set you up. You're going to do movies. And I was like, and I didn't know he meant TV series, but he said movies back then because TV series didn't exist. And that's when I was like, that's my purpose. My purpose is to, number one, tell my story to as many people as I possibly can. Because the Lord told me, no matter what you do, don't you stop talking. Don't you stop talking. I'm going to speak to through you. A lot of times I'll say things that I'll be like, oh, that wasn't me. Like, let me take note on that one because that didn't come from me. You know, and the Lord will heal you by your own words. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So all your greatness is on the inside of you, but you won't know until you open your mouth. The Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So we got to keep speaking. So when God told me and showed me, it is when I said, okay, I know what I'm here for. I'm here to deliver a message that most people won't, because most people will tell the story, but it'll be a one-sided story. What do I mean by that? They'll talk about all the stuff that was done to them, but none of the stuff that they did. And my unique thing is, if I'm gonna tell on you, I gotta tell on me. And half of the things that I did, it wasn't led by the devil, that was just who I was. But we won't tell that part. We won't say, oh, you know, devil made me do it. No, you didn't become a direct threat to the devil till you got saved. Why would he do all that? You're not serving him.
Oh, that's deep.
He only come after you when you serve God. When you get a revelation of who you are, that's when all hell breaks loose. You see, the Christians are talking about, oh, you know, your life. But no, nigga, your life ain't going to get better. Your life about to get a whole lot worse. Because you're a direct threat to the devil. Because you're going to open your mouth. You're not only going to tell on others, but you're going to tell on, if you're a real minister, you're going to tell on yourself. Because people already know they're in sin. They already know they're on the way to hell. They want you to tell them how jacked up you was so they can say, you know, God would do that for you. Then I had a little girl come to me one time and say, you know, I thought I was real messed up until I met you. Like, you really need Jesus. And so it's just a really unique position that I don't got to tell on you. If I tell you enough about me, you'll be like, oh, hope is alive. You know, there's real still hope for me because this woman was fully possessed. This woman was really jacked up. But the devil he don't want you to get saved, because if you save, you are held accountable to speak. So I hope that answers your question.
All right. So I'm about to pull a wild card on you right quick.
Okay.
So my wild card question to you is, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Man, that's a crazy question. But I'm be real cut. I'm be real, real cut. Okay. And ain't nobody gonna like this answer. And I would have told my young 18 self, my unsaved 18 self, girl, why are you giving away you can get paid? Okay. Like I would have said that. That's what I would have said because I was not a hoe at 18. I was a whore at 18. Hoes get paid. Whores give it away. And even though that's a bad scenario, I would tell myself, baby, you don't even know your worth. You don't even know your worth.
That's
People say,
true.
well, that's contradictory. Why would you tell somebody, get paid for it? If you're gonna do it anyway, at least be the best at what you're gonna do. I'm just saying, you ain't gotta like that. But I would tell myself, know your worth. You don't know your worth because half of the stuff that you would put up to through or put yourself through is because you don't know what you're worth. If you only knew what you were, you would deal with things differently and you would deal with people differently and you wouldn't let people just play you up or play you small or just feed you some crumbs and you'd be satisfied with that. Know your worth.
Know your worth. That's what I got out of
You know your worth.
the whole thing. Yes. So, do you ever regret saying something that was right, but told in the wrong way or in the wrong moment?
No, I pretty much stand behind everything I say because I don't give a shit. I don't.
Yeah,
I
I
don't. I don't
love
care.
her.
I stopped being a people pleaser a long time ago. If it offends you, then my spiritual mother used to say that she'd say, Miss Moses, Miss Reed. No, she'd say, Miss Reed, Miss Reed, Miss Reed. It's one thing about you. People may not like what you say and may leave mad. Or some people may not like what you say, but it will cause them to change. But those who don't like what you say and leave mad, they're gonna come back and apologize and change. So don't change nothing about you. So I'm not
Okay.
gonna, no. No.
Yes. So how can men become an ally and an advocate for women in the ministry?
By not being intimidated by the anointing. And understand that in the last days, the Lord shall pour his spirit out on all flesh, and sons and daughters will dream dreams and prophesy. And that is not limited to you. And you limit the church by muzzling the gifts that God has placed in the house for the edification of the saints. And so God is going to hold you accountable for that, you men. You will be held accountable. God, the only reason in scripture why they said women do not usurp authority. It was in the time when the women in the church would sit behind the men. And so the women would have to tap them on the shoulder and ask them, what did they say? Because they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear. That didn't mean that they weren't supposed to speak. They just couldn't hear what was going on. And that didn't mean that God didn't want to use. The first evangelist was a hoe. Her name was Mary the Magdalene. She was a hoe at a well. She wanted to go follow Jesus. She would have been the 13th disciple, but Jesus said, no, go back and tell. Evangelist goes back and tells. She was the first. And throughout history, if you just look through the Bible, Deborah led him into an army. The brother said, say, Deborah, yo, I understand the anointing's on you, and I can't go down here and win this battle. I'm not asking you to fight. I'm just asking you to go down with me and ahead of me, and I got this. That was Deborah. Then you had Esther. Esther went into the house of the king through her uncle, and she was the only one that had the anointing on her to go before the king to get the king to do something that was out of order that she could have lost her life for. And a whole nation was won because of her obedience. So a lot of these ministers are going to be held accountable because they're not allowing the women to be trailblazers to go before them to do what God has ordained them to do. And shame on them because you caught up in religion. That ain't nothing but religion. And that's why people got a hard time with me because I'll shut a church down. They don't want me to come. They really don't.
That's my sister. Yes. So, what kind of advice would you give some of us women that may have thoughts or fear entering into the ministry?
You're going to be held accountable for if you don't.
That's the baby.
Period. When you go to bed at night and you lay your head on your pillow, peace comes from knowing that you did everything you were supposed to do that day. Period. It's not about the money you made or the cars you bought or the houses or the diamond. It's the wisdom that was deposited in you that you dispersed. That's your anointing.
Give it a mic.
And you're going to be held accountable for it.
Yes, ma'am. So what was your worst experience in the ministry and how did you handle it?
Being pimped behind the pulpit.
What?
Yes, exactly what I said. Being pimped by the pulpit. So a lot of churches, I'm very charismatic. I can take over. I can walk into any scenario and my gift is going to move. So a lot of ministers who are not correct use the anointing that's on people's lives to line their pockets because they know under the unction of the anointing, people will give. And normally you'll go into a church and they'll say, we're about to take up an offering and all this is going to go to the apostle, the pastor, the preacher, or whoever the guest speaker is, right? But they only give you a designated amount. That's pimping the pulpit. So I went many a times where I know that me and my ex-husband struggled because the man and the woman of God of the churches that we went into, they pimped us. Unknowingly, they pimped us. And God told us a long time ago, y'all been robbed. And the only reason you robbed is you not open your mouth and checking them. You know that you gave, that the body of Christ gave more than that. And that's why their churches are not growing, though. You see churches that are these little, small, and they've been in the building program for all eternity. It's because they're prostituting the gifts that God are bringing into the house. And only way that the people, the only way the people in the church are able to move forth in the anointing that's on the house when the man and woman called, God causes them to give into that. Into that person. The Bible says, receive a prophet's word, receive a prophet's reward. You sow into that. Anytime you hear a word that moves you or is what a confirmation, you're supposed to sow seed in that. But if the seed don't get to the hand of the person that it's supposed to get to, what happens to the seed? It falls on fire on bad ground. Because you didn't send it where it was supposed to go. And that's pimping the pulpit. I was pimping up in the street. We ain't doing that no more. So, yeah, that's it.
So how do you feel about mental health?
And I'll be honest with you. I suffered with mental health, and most anointed people have mental health issues. Why? Because we don't understand this anointing. We don't understand how you hear stuff. Like, you know, and this is a subject that causes me to get emotional because the things that God shows me, the things that I hear in the spirit, you can't tell everybody. And that shit'll drive you crazy. Who do you tell that to? And it caused some of the greatest people in the Bible were jacked up in the head. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, things in high places that the church don't talk about. So you think you're crazy. You're not really crazy. It's just that you don't know what to do with all the information that's in your brain. So you think you're going Instagram, but there ain't a damn thing wrong with you. You just don't know how to verbally get it out. And you don't even know who to trust to get that to, because them niggas will lock you up. Somebody, you see stuff in the clouds. I see stuff in the clouds all the time.
I hear voices.
So you're crazy. You just don't have the people around you that you can trust that information. So you go to bed thinking I'm crazy. And we have all these thoughts. They're called racing thoughts. You got all these thoughts coming in your mind and we don't know how to compartmentalize them. So the first thing we say is, I'm crazy. You're not crazy. You just never met nobody like you to tell you ain't nothing wrong with you, baby. That's the devil just trying to mess with your mind. Because if he can make you think you're crazy, you will say, who is God to choose me to do this? Don't you know how knucklehead I am? God wouldn't choose me. So the devil wants to give you a wrong opinion of yourself, a wrong visual of yourself, so that you will abort your call. Ain't nothing wrong with you. We just don't understand who we're wrestling. We're wrestling. We're fighting with spirits that are real. We are a spirit having a human experience. And just look around you, all the craziness. And then you're supposed to decipher that. And you ain't got nobody to bounce that off of. They'll make a nigga think they crazy. They tried to fill me with all the medications. And the Lord said, throw it all away. Throw it away. I got you. Start speaking out. I don't care if you ain't got to say it to nobody else. Start talking to yourself in the room and getting that stuff out your system. And watch how freed up you get. You feel crazy because you ain't letting it out. And you don't feel that you can trust that. Man, if I tell anybody that, they're going to put me in a padded room. Well, y'all just going to put me in a padded room. I remember my ex-husband, and I'm off the chain. I remember one time my ex-husband gave me my nerves, and I was like, nigga, I just want to go to sleep, right? I just want to go to sleep. They're going to take me two little Seroquels so I can go to sleep, right? So I faked him out because I just wanted him to get out of the room, and I didn't take two Seroquels, but he called the ambulance. They took me to the hospital. They get a little charcoal to pump your stomach out, and I was in there talking to my sons because me and all my kids all our lives have seen different things in the clouds, which I can send you pictures of angels in the clouds that are protecting me. And the nurse was at the door, and girlfriend was over listening to my conversation. And the next thing you know, I had a spirit standing at my door. And they was like, we're going to take you on a little ride. And so they took me down to the Austin State Hospital. On the way down there, I'm ministering to the driver, the police officer. He calls ahead to the hospital and say, ain't nothing wrong with this lady, right? So when I get to the hospital, all the staff meet me at the door. They said, Miss Carol, you don't belong here. There's nothing wrong with you. This is what we want you to do, and we're going to have you out of here, okay? We're going to get you up out of here. And see, a lot of people can't handle it. So you got to be careful who you tell your information to, because everybody does not have a spiritual lifestyle that they can even handle that. You talking, they're like, woo, no, it's not that. It's not. It's just who you share it to. So you got to be very selective. I got a daughter named Megan. Hi, Megan. That'll call me and she say, God, I'm so glad I met you because I could never tell nobody this. They think I'm crazy. Well, baby, we're going to be just crazy together because I'm with you. Okay, I got you. It ain't nothing you can tell me that's going to be like you strange, because I'm strange and God still chose me. And I'm Iskabibble. Okay?
Okay, so we're gonna kind of wrap it up with you right now. I really appreciate you, and I'm really honored to have this conversation with you and for you taking the time out to share your stories with us. Before you go though, if this was the last time I ever saw you, if this was the last time we ever talked, what would you tell me along my journey and why?
I would tell you that no matter what you do, be true to yourself, because pleasing everybody will make you lose your mind. And to always do your very best to be honest with everybody, even if it hurts their feelings, because at the end of the day, your peace comes from you doing everything on your part that you were supposed to do. That's it. Just be honest, be authentic you. Not what everybody else sees you or perceives you to be. And you're going to lose a lot of people on that way. But be up, because your peace comes with knowing that you were honest with you. And that sometimes you have to be honest with other people, which hurt them because they're not ready for honesty. But if you want peace, be honest. That's it.
Okay. I take it all in. You put a lot on me today. So I got to meditate that out. But before you go, we want to get a drop from you. Your drop is for the
before ready. We do the drop, can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I want you guys to pray for me. We're working on a TV pilot about my life. And we're almost finished with the pilot. It's something that is necessary that needs to come out, and it's gonna entail my whole story of not just the natural side, but the spiritual side of what a lot of people go through, which are the spirits that are in this earth that hurt us and puppet us. And we're going to be doing this about my life, starting with me as a little child. We have a team. We're almost finished. is going to be major, and it's going to be dealing with the spirit of Incubus. And if anybody hasn't studied the spirit of Incubus, it's a spirit that rapes girls and women when they're little kids. And the one that rapes the men is called Succubus. Well, I was tormented from the age of 6, 7 all the way to 12 years old, raped in my sleep every night. And so we're going to pull the wool off of the devil. And so pray for that, because that's the project that I'm working on right now. That's my purpose in life. And so.
Wow. Okay, so we're going to get you to do this drop for us.
Okay.
The drop is for the station. So you would say, hey, my name is, enter your name. My name is blank, and I'm in the den with Nala on Power 904.
Hi, this is Carol, and I'm with Nala on 90.
Power 904.
All right. I'm with Nala with Power 904. Hi, this is Carol Reed with EWO Events and Entertainment, and I'm here with Nala with 90, with Power 90. Oh, no. I can't do scripty stuff. Okay. That's my whole Power 904?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, this is Carol Reed with EWO Events and Entertainment, and I'm here with Nala with Power 904.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Carol.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. You too. What's up, you guys? This is your girl, Nala, right here in the den, all the way from Georgia to Florida on Power 904. Yes, make sure you stay tuned in with us this year, because we got so much new stuff coming in. Like I always tell y'all, you don't want to miss this.